Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. We're also sponsored once again by Simply Safe Home Security. Go to simplysafe.com/ricochet to get a special 10% discount off your home security system. More on Simply Safe later in the podcast. Let's start with our good martini, Jim. And of all the promises Donald Trump made in the 2016 campaign, one that we probably heard at least as much, if not more than any other, except potentially for the wall, was to once again make it right with the vets. We are going to get rid of the horrific VA system that has ill-served the vets and reform it and get it right. And so we're going to take care of our vets. That was the catchphrase. And then a lot of conservatives were a little bit surprised that Trump's choice to be the VA secretary was David Shulkin, because he had been an Obama appointee. And Trump had obviously spent a lot of time being critical for Obama's leadership when it comes to the VA. But it turns out, at least early on, maybe those who were a little bit skeptical of that pick didn't give Shulkin a fair shake here. This is courtesy of the government executive. Hat tip to Hot Air for this. The Veterans Affairs Department should be able to fire any employee caught watching pornography at work immediately, according to its recently sworn-in secretary. The request comes after a Houston-based medical center employee was found after a thorough internal review to have viewed pornography while with a patient. The employee is currently on paid administrative leave, but has not yet been fired, as VA is required by law to provide 30 days of notice to its workers before terminating them. VA Secretary David Shulkin said that law, which governs the entire federal workforce, must change. Quote, "This is an example of why we need accountability legislation as soon as possible," Shulkin said. "It's unacceptable that the VA has to wait 30 days to act on a proposed removal." Back to the Hot Air analysis. So the guy who was viewing pornography sites wasn't some office drone handling paperwork. He was actually a frontline worker who had to deal with patients and was doing this while he was in with and presumably taking care of one of our veterans. Initially, thanks to the current rules, which were pretty much written by the unions, they couldn't even suspend him. He was moved out of patient care responsibilities and into an administrative role at the Texas facility. So, Jim, after the first time this scandal broke, I thought we passed major legislation that made it easier to fire people, but it turns out these unions are pretty tough, and it looks like we've got a VA secretary, however he got into the VA, even appointed by Obama, who's fed up with their rules.
Doctor, you seem really focused on my chart on your screen there. Is there something wrong? Anytime you hear a federal worker caught looking at porn, it's bad news. When you're looking at porn and you're supposed to be interacting with a patient, then people are really not going to be cutting any slack on that one. Yeah, you and I had expressed a little bit of skepticism of David Shulkin so far. The idea of having somebody who had been in the old guard, we were wary about. But to give credit where it is due, he's saying the right thing. Sounds like he has a positive attitude and good relationships so far with Republicans in Capitol Hill. Maybe Shulkin really is the guy who's got his heart in the right place and wants to get this done. It's one thing to say it, another thing to do it, but I have to applaud his attitude. And look, it sounds like from various folks around the veterans beat that this is now a real push. Listen, the fact that Shulkin is seen as Obama's guy should help diffuse some of the Democratic reluctance for these sorts of changes. And if they aren't, then I fear, in my mind, this is a very big opportunity for Republicans to say, look, we are the only party that is demanding accountability from the federal government. The other side has too much faith in government to ever really hold it accountable when it messes up.
Yeah, the priorities are just out of whack. It's not necessarily that Democrats don't care about taking care of vets. They just care about taking care of the unions more than they care about taking care of the vets. And that ultimately leads to shoddy care. And it's not just the occasional employee, and we've seen this at other agencies, as you mentioned, watching porn while supposedly working on the taxpayer dime, but there's a lot of incompetent people in there too, or people who just aren't very productive, and it should be easy to get rid of them too if they don't shape up. So, good on David Shulkin. This is hopefully a good sign. All right. This should really be a PG-13 rated episode of the Three Martini Lunch, perhaps even more, because let's move to our bad martini now and let's talk about Fox News and not their broadcast content. There has been, as you well know, I'm sure, a lot of allegations about Roger Ailes over the years. He was essentially forced out by Rupert Murdoch last year after the Gretchen Carlson sexual harassment allegations, which he vehemently denied until Gretchen Carlson revealed that she had recorded the whole thing, and then they settled. She got $20 million. Roger Ailes out of a job. Then there was the Andrea Tantaro suit, which I don't think has yet been resolved. Then we found out in recent days that Fox settled five different settlements with five women for about $13 million who have accused Bill O'Reilly of sexual harassment. And oh, by the way, now one of their Democratic contributors, Julie Roginski, is also filing a sexual harassment lawsuit against Roger Ailes, suggesting that the reason she did not get to replace Bob Beckel on the five is because she wouldn't give in to his sexual advances. So, Jim, now we're seeing that five different O'Reilly Factor sponsors have, in fact, abandoned the program, including three major automakers, Mercedes, Hyundai, and BMW. Jim, Tantaros, in reaction to this Roginski lawsuit, has said this is just more part and parcel of the frat house atmosphere at Fox News. If you're going to be the network that at least respects the conservative perspective on a lot of things, if not even bends in that direction, which a lot of people would suggest, the way they conduct themselves, or at least a lot of these people conduct themselves, seems to paint a very different picture than what they're broadcasting.
Yeah, and let's get something out of the way. Nobody in conservative media likes criticizing Fox News. They are an extremely powerful voice in the movement. Everybody wants to be on Fox News for access to their audience. If you ever have a book coming out, you want Fox News. You know, Fox News, there is a reluctance to criticize Fox News, and some of that is just kind of natural, avoiding unnecessary antagonism to powerful people in your movement. And some of it may has caused people to avert their eyes when they shouldn't. Look, we all know that not every accusation is guaranteed to be true. We all know that there are cases where people will make false accusations. We all know there are times when someone will not get a promotion and then conclude in their mind that there was some other reason that they didn't get the promotion. Having said all that, the accusations are really starting to pile up, and it's one of those things where it's getting harder and harder to give the folks at Fox News the benefit of the doubt. I know that when Ailes stepped down, there were a lot of folks there who said, look, I owe my career to him. I've never seen anything that was inappropriate. I think seemingly highly of him, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, these at some point, the sheer number of accusers starts to make you think that there's smoke there, there's got to be fire. Roginski's been on Fox News for a really long time. I think I've been on one or two shows with her. She, you know, you don't just decide out of the blue to accuse your employer of something like this. You know that this is going to have very big consequences and probably ends your relationship with the institution. But you make the accusation because you got to do it. And this is coming on the heels of a whole bunch of other ones. At some point, with multiple women coming up and saying there's this frat house atmosphere, there's constant sexual comments, constant sexual treatment, requests for sex, invitations to sex, things like that, that you just don't expect to see in a newsroom, and that just doesn't seem to be professional behavior. I understand somebody, Bloom, one of the Lisa Bloom is the lawyer for one of the women making these accusations. She adds up everyone against Roger Ailes, Bill O'Reilly, and every other member of the Fox leadership team. She came up with 30 women, right? Mm. I don't think all 30 of them are you know, suddenly crazy or making stuff up or anything like that. If you are Fox News, you have to be really worried about the far-reaching consequences of this. I think this does affect the public perception of the network. And I think also it is simply not in keeping with the quote-unquote conservative values that the network was always seen to be more friendly to. It is against their brand image, and no one likes to think of the powerful, you know, people at Fox News acting like a bunch of sexually harassing jerks. So really getting unnerving, and what's worse is that you thought after the Ailes, you know, stepped down that this would be okay. This is a messy chapter, but that's the end of it. Looks like it's just continuing.
Yes. We'll see what happens with the Roginski lawsuit. And beyond, Jim, Gretchen Carlson got a lot of money because she actually had a recording of Roger Ailes, as we mentioned before. So maybe what Fox needs, for the benefit of the employees and the management, to depend who's right, SimpliSafe. Just a couple of years ago, if you wanted to protect your family, you had to spend a lot of money on a lot of complicated products. You'd be forced into a long-term contract protecting your family with a tangled mess of wires and buttons and levers. It was just really complicated and expensive. But thanks to SimpliSafe, protecting your family is now simple. They are blowing the roof off the home security industry.
And that doesn't leave your home vulnerable to invasion without a roof. SimpliSafe takes all the elements of good home security and streamlines them into one amazing system. You get 24/7 professional monitoring, powerful sensors, and a high-definition security camera. And let me tell you about this camera. It is brilliant. In the event of a break-in, it can automatically start recording. So you will get cold, hard evidence for the police sent right to your smartphone. Plus, you can live stream HD footage anytime you want.
So just go to simplisafe.com/ricochet right now to get our special 10% discount. 10% off just for going to simplisafe.com/ricochet. That's spelled SimpliSafe.com. Go now. SimpliSafe.com/ricochet. Well, if you want to wait till the end of the podcast, that's okay. But check them out. So let's go to our crazy martini now, Jim, and let's go to the Senate Judiciary Committee. As we suspected yesterday, it was a completely party line vote to send the nomination of Judge Neil Gorsuch to be on the Supreme Court to the full Senate. The Democrats, however, have officially compiled enough votes to filibuster the nomination. They're still very much bent out of shape about the fact that Merrick Garland never got a hearing or a vote. But they also spent a lot of time talking about how Judge Gorsuch, in their estimation, is out of the mainstream, not appropriate for the Supreme Court, handpicked by the Radical Federalist Society and the Heritage Foundation. It's unconscionable to think that he could be on the Supreme Court. Well, no. They just want to make sure that the Republicans don't blow up the rule. So because Republicans are willing to change the rule to make it a simple majority to confirm a Supreme Court justice, which they have the votes to do right now. So Chris Coons, Democrat of Delaware, member of the Judiciary Committee, appears on CNN with Wolf Blitzer and basically admits that the Democrats really don't have a problem with Judge Gorsuch. They just want to make sure the Republicans don't nuke the filibuster.
What I think I'm hearing you say is that if you can get a commitment from the Republican majority in the Senate that the next Supreme Court nominee will require 60 votes in order to be confirmed, you would then step back and allow Neil Gorsuch to be confirmed this time. Is that what I'm hearing?
I'm saying that we need to begin that conversation now that it's clear that there are 41 Democrats willing and ready to vote against cloture. We have to have a conversation about how we got here and where we're going. But I want it to be clear that what I said in hearing today, if you run my entire quote, was I'm going to vote against cloture unless there is some path forward between Republicans and Democrats that we can trust that allows us to have confidence they will not change the rules on the next confirmation.
But you would allow him to be confirmed this time if you can get what you want the next time. Is that right?
That's right. That's right.
So, Jim, they keep forgetting who's in power. They keep forgetting what they did back in 2013. So I'm sure you can trust the Democrats this time, Jim, that Neil Gorsuch will get on the bench and you know, just don't change the rule. Everything will be fine.
So we don't really have the ability to stop you. But how about you give us what we want and we'll promise to not stop you? Let's go back to that first part where you don't actually have the ability to stop me. I suppose the flip side, I'm sure there's, you know, somewhere across town, Greg, there's a Democratic podcast where they're saying, well, wait a second, we give them Judge Gorsuch. How do we know they don't, you know, all we have is their promise to not nuke it next time? They could always nuke it again, you know. Look, we can all argue about when exactly judicial fights turned into the all-out ideological, metaphorical nuclear war that they are. We could go back to the Bork hearings. We could go back to the fight over Clarence Thomas. We could go back to Judge Miguel Estrada, and he was a lower court judge, but the beginning of the Democratic efforts to block those judges. We could go back to Harry Reid eliminating the filibuster for non-Supreme Court nominees and for cabinet nominees and things like that. Look, guys, this has been a long time coming. This has been a long time building up towards this. And the problem is that each time one side does something, the other side is going to feel like it's now entitled, in fact, required to retaliate like this. So it's interesting to see Coons. The other thing is that the argument You see from there was a dissent from that USA Today editorial that we talked about yesterday, Greg, in which the dissenting voice on the editorial board said that Gorsuch was extreme. Now, never mind, he voted in the majority like 98-99% of the time and is exceptionally few decisions that ever get overturned and all kind of stuff. Extreme is the new term for I don't like this person or I disagree with this person. And when your mentality is that anybody who disagrees with you is an extremist, I'm sorry, it just becomes very easy to tune you out. Democrats don't really have a legitimate argument against Judge Gorsuch other than they don't like him. And they thought that this was their chance to replace a conservative or originalist or strict constructionist judge like Scalia with one that they would like better. And they didn't get that opportunity because they didn't win the presidency. So now here they are. So they can take this step. And obviously, you know, Republicans are you know, it's very much the responses from the Republicans, the Senate Republicans vary from go ahead and make my day to whatevs. There is not enormous moral hand-wringing about this. Maybe a little bit from Collins and McCain says he's not eager to do it and things like that. But ultimately, Senate Republicans are going to confirm this guy because he's a really good judge and he's exactly the kind of person they want to see on the court. And oh, by the way, this, you know, Neil Gorsuch has indicated in his answers and record he's not going to be a yes man for the Trump administration every time the Trump administration goes before the Supreme Court. You'd think this would be important to Democrats, but they're too blinded by rage to even consider that. So that's where we are, Greg, where they're coming up with these crazy, you know, we'll give you this and this and we'll throw in a draft pick next year if you don't let us keep the filibuster. But either way, it doesn't seem to be shaking out one way or another. Friday, Neil Gorsuch is going to be on the Supreme Court.
And that certainly looks that way. We'll be watching. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And as mentioned, don't forget to visit our friends at simplysafe.com/ricochet and explore that 10% discount and all the great services they provide. Join us again on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.